Hi.
This is Birds Make Birds.
You're listening to Freeform Radio.
91.5 FM.
WMFO, Medford.
Medford.
There's truth in the heart of the beholder. What's true for me ain't the same in the truth for you. But facts are facts, ain't no spinning that. That's the thing. All about the truth. You never kept. It should have been a clue. Well, but lies and half truths. Lord, I should have seen right through. Seen what you.
And a pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Freeform Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your Saturday afternoon as it comes to you live at a special time, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. today here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. For those of you that are Muslim that are listening, Eid Mubarak, congratulations. We made it. We made it to see the end of the month of Ramadan, which was the last time I had done this show in any capacity, whether it be during my regular time slot Wednesday mornings from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. and or as a substitute as well. So congratulations to all of you who are celebrating the Eid today or whether they did so yesterday. So with all of that being said, the phone lines are open. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in to the show as it's playoff season. And we're not going to go back and rehash and all that I have not talked about since I was last on the air. Last time I was on the air, we were at the end of the Celtics regular season, and the Bruins were wrapping up their historic regular season, and the playoffs are in full swing. And the Bruins and the Celtics are in the midst of their first-round series in which the Bruins, after a lackluster performance in Game 2, bounced back in a big way last night in Game 3, winning 4-2 down in Florida against the Panthers. The Celtics, on the other hand, they looked good in the first two games, although Game 1, they got a little too close for comfort, blowing a 30-point lead and letting that lead shrink all the way down to 13 points. Game 2 with a much more solid performance all the way around. But last night's game wasn't a game in which that I thought the Celtics would lose because Trae Young would take over that game. I thought the Celtics lost the game because they decided that they did not need to rebound at all last night. That in itself was one of the two major killers from last night's Game 3. And that's where we're going to start the show. Because the Celtics, in more ways than one, when they have these losses, it's like they're there. It's always that one factor that usually, you know, dictates what happens in that game, whether it's a win or a loss. They win because they shoot the ball well and they do a good job attacking the rim and knowing when to attack the rim. And they have a good rim protector, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But when they lose, it's either that they don't shoot the ball well, they don't shoot the ball well beyond the three-point line, or in last night's case, because I really want to harp on this particular point here, their rebounding was just bad. They were absolutely out-hustled. They were out-crashed along the boards. And they did not take advantage of their second chance points. And that in itself is the single biggest difference between the Celtics and the Hawks last night. So instead of the Celtics being up 3-0 in the series, which they could have very well possibly be right now, it's now a series. It's 2-1 with a pivotal game four tomorrow night. So let's talk about game three last night. What did you like? What didn't you like? I'll start with what did I like. What I liked was the fact that the Celtics were, they did things that I thought stood out. They did not, for reasons that I did not understand, I thought it was rather frustrating to watch last night. In more ways than one, they just did not make it a priority to rebound. That's what they do. They didn't make it a priority. They said, you know what? We're our talent alone offensively is more than good enough. It's more than good enough to play these guys into just be aggressive and so forth. Yeah, they have the talent, but here's the thing. The issue is that when you have guys on the Atlanta Hawks, in which you look at and you say that for example, when you say that, for example, that the Celtics, they wanted to assert their will early on. They tried to. There was just one problem. What was that one problem? They allowed the Hawks to get a little too comfortable early. And that was the thing that I thought it was particularly maddening to see. Because in some aspects, I thought the Celtics played well. But the thing that stood out to me was that every time the Celtics would go on a run, the Hawks had an answer. And that was particularly true, especially in the fourth quarter. When the Celtics, they would get within three, it come down to a one possession game, the Hawks had an answer for a deep three. That was the case. And then you talk about the Hawks. They're a more physical team. I'll give them that. And when you combine that with the elite shot making that they have, this is a lethal recipe for the Celtics, in which that they didn't have really an answer for last night. That's why when I look at last night's game, I'm not going crazy over the fact that the Hawks' shot making was elite, or it was a shock, or it's a surprise. I don't think it's a surprise at all. If anything, this was to be expected, because the Atlanta Hawks, they finished third in the NBA during the regular season in scoring. So you had to have known coming into the series, the Hawks, they are a team that can shoot the basketball. That's a fact. So last night, as the series shifted down to Atlanta, they shot the ball well. I'll give them that credit. But on the criticism side of the Boston Celtics, the fact that they got out-hustled is something that doesn't sit well with me. It shouldn't sit well with you as a Celtics fan. Because this was something that head coach Joe Mazzulla implored the team to do a better job of, especially after game one. Hustle. Hustle your ass off. But last night, I felt as if, as I was watching the game, that there were times that the Celtics, they did not do a better job of hustling after loose balls. And that's what cost them. Because when you go back and you look at the second chance points between the Hawks and the Celtics, there's a reason why there's this disparity. Like, in the last period of play, the Celtics didn't get one single 50-50 ball, and that in itself was pretty damning to even see. And if you're a Celtics fan that was watching last night's game three, you had to have been thinking, you had to have been asking yourself, why aren't they getting the 50-50 ball? Why aren't they, like, asserting their will and saying, hey, we're going to get those second chance points, we're going to do a better job crashing on the boards. Something that they did not do well last night, and it cost them dearly. Here's something that stood out to me, and I thought that was alarming. Atlanta Hawks' Sadiq Bey, he had 6 rebounds in the final quarter of the game. Guess how many the Boston Celtics had in the final quarter of Game 3 last night? 6. As a team, by the way. As a team. Sadiq Bey alone as a player had the same amount of rebounds that a single team had in a given quarter. That's problematic. And I'm sure if the Celtics are looking at film today, this is something that Joe Mazzulla and the head coaching staff is going to look at and implore the message upon this team heavily. Rebound, rebound, rebound. Do a better job crashing along the boards. Because it costs you. And if you think that the Hawks are going to change their tune after figuring out what was going to be their key to success in Game 3, think again. Think again. I just thought that that final sequence, especially late in the fourth quarter, when DeJounte Murray, he missed that 13-footer, and the ball went off of a Celtic. Derek White fouled. Trae Young took Al Horford one-on-one on a pick and roll and drained a contested on corner three-pointer. And I gave the Hawks a 121-116 lead. I said to myself, that's game right there. Honestly, if you're thinking at that moment that, well, the game was not over, they can still come back and win, I'm thinking to myself the way that the game was going in terms of the flow, in terms of the fact that every time the Celtics would make some sort of a run, there was always an answer by the Atlanta Hawks. That was your proof right there. Go back and you watch the last 3 minutes of that game last night. Didn't it seem like as if whenever they would get within 6 or 5, there was always an answer by the Atlanta Hawks? So, yeah, you give credit to where it's deserved in terms of Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, Sadiq Bey. You give them credit, sure. But when you talk about one of the reasons why the Hawks won last night, I look at the fact of two reasons. There's two major reasons why. Number one, DeJounte Murray and Trae Young combined, they were 22 of 29 shooting in the first half. And then on top of that, in that same breath, the Celtics, they were committing mistake after mistake after mistake early on in the first half, allowing the Hawks to get comfortable. And when you allow the Hawks to get comfortable, a good shooting team like Atlanta that can score, that was third in the NBA in scoring during the regular season, that spells trouble, especially when you're the road team. That's reason number one. Reason number two, I look at the chances the Boston Celtics had in that game. They had their opportunities to win. The Celtics, again, when they have leads, they've had the propensity of blowing those leads. They were up 37-28 at one point, specifically late in the first quarter. And all they needed was a couple of possessions to take full control. That's all they needed. So here's what happened instead. They allowed the Hawks to score in the final two buckets of the quarter, and the Hawks go on a run that was 42-19 in favor of the Hawks that changed the entire tune of the game. Because at one point, it looked like the Celtics was like, okay, we got this now. But before you know it, as my eyes were shifting between the Bruins and the Celtics game last night, it was as if the Hawks said, you know what? We're going to flip the switch on. We're going to go on an absolute tear. And they did. They went on a 42-19 run that changed the entire tenor of the game. Something that the Celtics were not able to recover from. And then in the second quarter, it did not help matters at all that the Hawks, they went 17 of 23 in the second quarter, including a 31-footer from Bogdan Bogdanović. And that's why when you allow a team like the Hawks to get comfortable, and you are not capitalizing on chances, holding on to leads, shooting the ball efficiently, it spells loss. It spells disaster. So if you are a Celtics fan and you're listening to the show, you are thinking they cannot repeat this again in game four. The Celtics have to be a lot more aggressive from beginning to finish. They cannot get out in front of another lead early in the game, take the foot off the gas like they did last night. Because the Hawks and their home, they will shoot you out the gym. As most evident by that 42-19 run. That is part of the reason why, as I sit here talking about the Celtics-Hawks series, game three from last night, I don't think the series is remotely over, but it's definitely a series. And I'm telling you right now, if the Celtics come back to Boston for game five, which is on Tuesday night, tied 2-2, they're in trouble. They're in trouble if it comes to that. So we're starting off the show talking about the Celtics. Game 3 loss last night to the Atlanta Hawks. If you have thoughts on that, feel free to call in at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. As we hit a break, and we're going to take a break here. Coming up next, we are going to talk about the Bruins. Game 3 down in Florida last night against the Panthers. Some things that stood out to me in the game, plus much more Bruin topics as well here on the Shukri Red Show, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Red, so you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
Left Sydney today with a case of beer for the way. Roll down the window, feel the heat from the dawn. Well, I ain't got nothing to do. I just drive and watch kangaroo with the sweet scent of diesel and burning rubber from my car. So long. With a case of beer for the way, I'll camp near an old gum tree with the stars shining down on me. I think of way back then, the dream time and how it began, as the light from the moon kisses the red colored sand. I'm here out back, baby, out back where I belong.
takes you long.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuscany from radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. So it's that time of year where it's time to read the donation drive PSA Donate Now. And I want to read you a couple of these PSAs for you here at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. If you love keeping the station freeform and supporting community radio, please consider donating to our 2023 donations drive. If you would like to pay online, go to give.tufts.edu under designation Select Arts, Sciences, and Engineering. Then Other. And then put WMFO, or you can write us a check. To check out our prize tiers and mailing address, go to WMFO.org and click the donations drive tab. Thanks for keeping us keep it freeform. If you like what we are doing here at 91.5 FM WMFO, consider donating. Go to WMFO.org and click our donations drive to see how you can help us keep it freeform. And with that being said, we now continue on with the Shukri Wright Show here at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Freeform Radio. Hope you're having a great Saturday so far. A little bit overcast here in the greater Boston area, but I am with it. It's on a chillier side as we now are entering the final week of April. And the playoffs are in full swing. And last week, it was really a beautiful thing to see. Being around the Garden, being by the Garden, seeing how the Bruin fans and Celtic fans really created electric buzz and feeling outside the Garden pregame, and the crowds at the Garden for both the Bruins and Celtics game ones and twos did not disappoint at all. It did not disappoint in terms of the overall atmosphere, just the excitement, and just it was just incredible to be able to see it on television. I certainly do intend to return to being back at the Garden actually this week, God willing, and we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Now that Ramadan's over, now I'll have an opportunity to really go full throttle back to a regular schedule, so to speak. So with all that being said, phone lines are open if you want to call in and talk about the Celtics last night and as well as the Bruins, which I'm about to do now. The phone lines are open. You can call in at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. So, Bruins, last night, they know that they had to have a better performance in Game 3 than they did in Game 2. Because I thought Game 2 was by far the worst, the worst performance probably in a while, if not, dare I say, all season, if you ask me. I mean, it was just bad. And then all of the extracurricular activities that took place and went on, especially during the game or late in the game, I should say, it only added fuel to the fire, so to speak. And now, the Bruins yesterday, they knew going into Game 3 that they had to make sure that they tied up in certain areas that they needed to tighten up on, especially when it came to, you know, asserting their will and just doing a much better job of creating scoring opportunities. And not to say that they didn't do so in game two, but it was abundantly clear that the Boston Bruins, it just looked like someone just took what made that team dominant this entire season and gave them pretty much like a shell of themselves. Kind of like Space Jam, how the NBA players, they lost their skills. Some evil spirit just came by and took their skills. That's basically what it was in Game 2 for the Boston Bruins. Now, on the other hand, last night, the Bruins really made sure that they were going to insert their game plan. Their game plan was pretty clear. it was pretty clear that they were going to, so even though without having their top two centers in Bergeron and Krejci, they made sure that they said, you know what, we're going to rely on our depth to carry us through this game. And did they ever? And you think about all of the craziness that went on prior to the start of the game in terms of the line changes. And I saw a lot of the reactions on Twitter, which a lot of people were saying, oh my God, this is overreaction. This is too much. Why are we changing? Like, actually, they're not the first team to do it. This is the norm. Great teams that have won the Stanley Cup, they have made changes. They have juggled lines throughout the postseason. This wasn't just a reactionary move on the part of Jim Montgomery because the Bruins played like complete crap in game two. No. This is the norm. This is a good thing, and it clearly paid off. And you think about, and you think about like how all of the moves that the Bruins made, it paid off handsomely. And you think about the goal scorers who scored last night: Taylor Hall, Charlie Coyle, David Pastrnak, and Nick Foligno. I mean, my goodness. You talk about the revamped lineup and the way that it looked last night. I mean, what exactly was there not to like? Was it rather concerning or a bit puzzling to see? Sure. Was it different from what we have been accustomed to? Yeah, perhaps. I will admit that it was. But it was necessary. There is a thing in which that it's called, it can get rather stale out here. And it did for the Bruins, especially with the way that they look. So change ended up, you know, creating a bit of a spark, if you will. And I like the spark. The spark in itself was more of, okay, we're playing with different line mates now, so this is what we're going to do. We are going to like get accustomed to playing with different lineies, and it worked. It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful to see. And when I think about some of the things that you saw early on, you go back to yesterday's morning skate. I just thought that it was really interesting how the Bruins really made it a point to change things up dramatically. Was it different? Yeah. But was it something that was necessary? Absolutely. Was it something that the Bruins said, you know, we could really use a change here, and it worked out handsomely? You think about the fact that Jim Montgomery, he basically stayed with Linus Ullmark for game three. I thought that was really one of the more solid decisions that that Jim Montgomery made. Cause I thought that Jeremy Swayman would actually get the start in game three, and I thought that he should. But sticking with Linus Ullmark, it was like, okay, you know what? I get it. And obviously the move paid off. And for game three, I think it's pretty clear that the Bruins really should consider heavily going to Jeremy Swayman to give Linus Ullmark that rest. Because remember, game five is not until Wednesday night at the Garden. After tomorrow's game, they got Monday, Tuesday off, and obviously they're back at it on Wednesday. You give Swayman that extra day, that's 4 days off. And that's the perfect amount of rest for a goalie that's clearly a little nicked up right now, but he's playing through it right now. And what more could you possibly ask for? But it really does amaze me when you think about the changes that were made, and it was pretty clear that, especially early on, and I'm trying to find like the line changes. During the morning skate, I thought it was particularly fascinating to see how like they would all end up working out, and it worked out pretty well, if you ask me. So I want to see what the Bruins do in terms of like game four. Game four should be interesting. And I think it will be. I think it will be fascinating to see how it all works, because with this new momentum that they got, I want to see this Bruins team show a little bit more of a killer instinct. They had the opportunity to do so. Not yesterday, in game two. So these were the lines yesterday during practice pregame. So the lines without David Krejci: Marchand and Coyle, DeBrusk, which worked marvelously. Bertuzzi, Zaka, Pasternak, they looked really good. That third line of Hall, Frederick, and Foligno, just outstanding. And then that fourth line of Jeremy Loca, who played in his first career playoff game alongside with Tomáš Nešek and as well as Garnet Hathaway, outstanding. Just outstanding. But I was surprised to see that David Krejci was listed as a scratch. It was due to an upper body injury. And at this moment in time, I think the Bruins are better off just having him just sit out until Game 5, reevaluate where he is. Let Krejci and as well as Linus Omark set out Game 4 and just see what happens come Game 5. Give them an extra day of rest and basically see what happens here. So, Game 4 tomorrow. How are you feeling, Bruin fans? You can call in and discuss your thoughts. 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. We are going to take another break here. Coming up next, I want to share with you some more thoughts on the Bees as well. And something interesting that caught my eye as pertains to the Boston Bruins. I want to share with you exactly what that was. Coming up next here on the Shukri Wright Show, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
I am Dr. Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
This was still new to me. understand. Impossible Germany, unlikely Japan. This is what love is for, to be out of place. Gorgeous and alone, face to face. No larger problems that need to be erased. Nothing more important than to know someone's listening. Now I know.
Welcome back to the Shook Right Show, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuss-Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Glad you're able to tune into the program this afternoon as we are inching closer to what, 6 o'clock. It's actually hard to believe that that this hour is kind of flying by so quickly, kind of like the theme of what life has been like recently with time is just seemingly just flying by. And, you just can't believe that we're now about to enter the month of May, which is significant. especially if you are a person that pays attention to the sports calendar, so to speak. We're rapidly moving along in terms of the Stanley Cup playoffs, the NBA playoffs, baseball's in full swing with the regular season. And especially locally, the Bruins and Celtics right now, they are the ones that's on the stage, so to speak. The Red Sox have taken a bit of a back page, so to speak. Not disrespecting the Red Sox or discrediting the Red Sox at all, but let's be honest, like the majority of the attention of this city is on the Bruins and the Celtics right now. So the Bruins, Celtics, playoff fever, both teams have expectations to win the Stanley Cup this June. Yeah, excitement is high. The optimism is high. I mean, it's the ebbs and flows of the postseason is certainly going to be something to really, like, revel in, you know? But the phone lines are open if you want to call in and share your thoughts on the Bruins and Celtics so far. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 as the number to call into the show to be a part of the program as well. And I figured that this segment will be a good opportunity for me to really to talk about something that's really stood out to me that is Bruins related. And there have been some people that have brought this particular story up, and I think that is something that we really should talk about, because in sports you obviously, like, we tend to think of athletes as like these superhuman individuals, and we tend to think of these young athletes as indestructible. They are, you know, fully protected from life, and that's not the case. So I don't know how many of you have heard or caught on to this, onto this story about Bergeron, or the reason why that he played in Game 82, because we really don't know when the injury may have happened. What we do know is that apparently Patrice Bergeron's father has been battling cancer, and he wanted to have the opportunity to play in front of his family, who as we all know, Bergeron is from Quebec. He's a French Canadian, and playing in Montreal against the hated Canadiens, hockey fans, we know that the Bruins Canadiens rivalry is the most heated and the most fierce in the NHL. Who was going to tell him no? And the reason why I brought this up is because, as legendary and as beloved and as respected and as admired that Bergeron is in this city, and as well as across hockey, Bergeron, yes, he's dealing with the upper body injury right now. He's trying to get as healthy as much as he possibly can so that he can play in Game 5. That's the hope right now. That'll be at the earliest that he's hoping to return. The truth is, we really tend to not give people, especially athletes, like the ability to be humans, because we have turned them from human beings into complete robots. Like, let me ask you this question. If Patrice Bergeron or anyone else never leaked out why he played in Game 82 or a quote-unquote meaningless game to anyone, do you think that people would still have, as I would say, like, there have been some real wild takes and opinions on this? Do you think there would be as extreme as it has been in terms of the reactions and the takes? Probably. I think there is a level of cynicism that does associate itself with being a fan, and as well as being a fan of the Bruins and really Boston sports, unfortunately. But the truth is, there was a bigger reason, and there was a bigger reason for more than just himself. asked for why Bergeron played in game 82. And I thought it was really telling, in my opinion, seeing just some of the extreme reactions that really caught my attention on Twitter and as well as on social media, but especially on Twitter. That's where I spend most of my time on there nowadays. I thought that it was gross. I thought it was really disheartening and wild to see people act in such a way online, seeing exactly how like, he should be playing, blah, blah, blah. Or in some cases, I've seen a couple of instances where someone was saying, oh, Jim Montgomery should be fired for even allowing Bergeron to play, blah, blah, blah. Or isn't winning the cup more important? Yeah, these were real responses that I saw on Twitter, and I was just like, you people are the worst. You people are absolutely the absolute freaking worst. And the reason why I say that you people are the worst, the people who are reacting in this way, is because how dare you? He wanted to do something meaningful for his father. And who knows how much longer his father may have on this earth. We don't know. But he wanted to have an opportunity to play in front of his family, especially his father, for what may have been the last time. We don't know. And that's the other part of it. Bruin fans forget, Bergeron may not come back next year as well. So there was a lot more to it than what meets the eye. Unfortunately, we live in an era in which that we love to have these extreme takes, extreme reactions or overreactions to stories of sports, and that we completely dehumanize these athletes as to what may be really going on behind the scenes. We have seen this time and time again. And the latest as it pertains to Patrice Bergeron is particularly disheartening, not because I love the Bruins, but because at what given point has Bergeron have ever given the fans or the media to ever question where his heart may lie? He has never, ever done that since the day that he was drafted 20 years ago in 2003. Like, come on, like, what are we doing? 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. As it really stood out to me, because I really can't help but to think, even right now as I'm sitting here doing the show, how did some people, and I'm not going to say all, but there was certainly a group of people who noticed, I noticed this, but how do we even get to this point? How do we get to this point where one loss, it just seemed like this massive doom and gloom? And that's exactly what it felt like after game two. Because I actually want to spend some time talking about this. Because I made a video yesterday and I posted on both Twitter and as well as TikTok as well. That if you're going to overreact, like, can you please like, bring yourself to some sense, because one loss was not going to derail the Bruins season. And even, let's say, if the Bruins lose one more or two more times and this series goes a full seven games or something like that, is it the worst thing in the world? No, it's not the worst thing in the world. And I can't help but to sit here and to think, y'all must have forgotten what the Stanley Cup playoffs is like. You're going to have wins. You're going to have losses. You're going to have your ups. You're going to have your downs. But how you manage between those wins and losses will definitely dictate how you are able to approach what the Bruins do moving forward, and as well as just your overall mental and emotional well-being. I mean, say what you will about whatever you may think of me or my opinion in this case, but there's a reason why I refuse to partake in this overreaction, in this extreme reactions and responses. Here's why, and it's a very simple answer. Because you overreacting in a manner that you overreacting, what good does that do for you? For every Bruins win and for every Bruins loss, there's going to be ups and there's going to be downs. I mean, my goodness. I just thought it was really interesting how some of the fans, and it was mostly fans. I didn't really see that from the media. I mean, I'm sure Sports Talk Radio in Boston following Game 2, especially on Thursday, was not really great. You can only imagine. But even then, it was pretty clear to me that there has to be a level of calm. The level of passion and fire is there. No one should ever question that. But I do believe you have to have a middle ground, because if you go to one extreme or the other, you do yourself more harm than good. What benefit is there in just extreme in such a extreme way in which that everything's gonna be okay, or oh my God, it's the end of the world? Like, no, it's not. No, it's not. If you thought the Bruins, they were going 16-0 in the Stanley Cup playoffs, as some of you felt as if that was going to be the case, I got a horse and some 30 acres of land to sell you. That's not reality. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call into the show. We're going to take another music break. Coming up next, final thoughts with you here in the Shukra Wright Show, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuss Free Form Radio.
I've been running around in circles, pretending to be myself. Why would somebody do this on purpose when they could do something else? Drowning out the morning birds with the same three songs over and over. I wish I wrote it, but I didn't, so I learned the words. I'm alone till the feeling's gone forever. Took a tour to see the stars, but they weren't out tonight. So I wished hard on a Chinese satellite. I want to believe. Instead, I look at the sky and I feel nothing. You know. I want to be wrong. You were screaming at the evangelicals. They were screaming right back from what I remember. And you said I will never be your vegetable.
Welcome back to the Sugar Ray Show, 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Tuss Freeform Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Final thoughts here on the Sugar Ray Show, 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Tuss Freeform Radio. It'll be great if the Bruins and Celtics can come back to Boston Tuesday and Wednesday, respectively, up 3-1 in the series. I mean, I don't think that's really a tall ask, but that would be helpful. And I think that would be beneficial. And I think that would be something that that would definitely make things rather a bit more easier for both the Bruins and the Celtics. As we are getting deeper into the first round series, things are definitely getting a bit more interesting. And I am definitely curious to see how tomorrow unfolds. We got Bruins game 4. Bruins are up 2-1 in their series, best of 7. Tomorrow, puck drop is at 3:30. And as well as the Celtics, their game 4 is tomorrow night, 7 p.m. down in Atlanta. Their hope is to be up 3-1 as both the Bruins and Celtics first-round series shifts back to the Garden. The Celtics playing on Tuesday night for game 5. Bruins playing on Wednesday night for game 5. So if both teams handle their business tomorrow, it should be a pretty raucous crowd on Tuesday and Wednesday nights. I look forward to it. I absolutely am looking forward to this first full week post-Ramadan for me personally in terms of, you know, getting really back into the full swing of things in terms of, like, schedule and as well as being able to, like, really, like, grind it out in terms of the podcast. Which, oh, by the way, don't forget to check out the Believe in the Hub of Champions podcast with yours truly, Sugar Rights on Believe Network and wherever you get your podcasts as well. Don't forget to check that out, too. So, with all of that being said, it's time for me to get on out of here. It's Saturday. It's almost 6 o'clock. I'm actually am looking forward to enjoying my Saturday night. And I hope you are, too. I'm certainly looking forward to it as well. So, I will talk to you again, hopefully before Wednesday. If not, for sure Wednesday, God willing. It's been a blast being back here in studio doing the show. And hope all of you have a great rest of your Saturday. This is Sugar Ray signing off. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Tuss Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app globally on WMFO.org. Have a good day, everybody. Take it easy.
Hi, my name is Will Wiesenfeld. I'm back, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
The way I describe it for people is my dad shot himself and the bullet hit everyone in his life. It was a week before my 30th birthday and I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't because I thought I could call